You know Revelation 12:11. That's where we're going to start. They overcame. They overcame. They overcame. You can overcome. How did they overcome? And what?
The word of their testimony.
What's next?
And they loved not their lives unto the death.
See, we leave that part out, but that part's very important. People to overcome are people who have the commitment. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing as saying, seek first the kingdom. That's the same thing as saying Jesus is Lord. That's people without compromise. People that are half-hearted, wishy-washy, up and down, in and out, are people that will have difficulty overcoming. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they knew what the blood had done. We talked about pleading the blood. We talked about drawing a blood line. You can't do that because it's done in the Spirit if you're not aware of what Jesus did and the significance of His shed blood. So first of all, I know what the blood has done. And then I speak what the blood has done. The word of my testimony is in direct connection to the blood. In other words, it's when I say what Jesus' blood did for me. I have a continual confession. This is what the blood has done for me. And I'm fully committed. I love not my life unto death. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going to the fiery furnace? They said, our God will deliver us, and if He doesn't deliver us. They were simply stating their commitment that we're not giving up prayer no matter what you do to us. Prayer is right. Well, people that are committed are going to overcome.
Yes.
But people that are half-hearted are going to have trouble overcoming. Now, if you put some of us, most of us, on the athletic field to do so many chin-ups, you know, I could make A's in biology and physics and chemistry, but I worked hard to make a decent grade in phys ed. I have never been physical. And the one thing I made a zero in every year when they gave the fitness test was chin-ups. I never did do even one chin-up all the days of my life. So if you put me out there, I can't hang on. I don't have the strength or the stamina. Now, Wayne Cumby is a master. I've seen him on a door frame, you know, about the half-inch door frame, with the tips of his fingers do a good number, just up and down, up and down, up and down. He was raised on a farm. He's very strong. So he hangs in there. Now, overcoming is hanging in there, isn't it?
Yes.
Knowing what the blood has done, that if I do hang in there, faith and patience inherits the promise that I can overcome. I like what one minister said about overcome. He defined it. He says, do you know what overcoming is? It's when you come over something. That's exactly what it is. You have an obstacle in your path, a dilemma of some sort, a sickness, a disease, a lack, a need, and you overcome that, you come over that. Are you blasted out of your way? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, I like the translation says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, move. And I always add in Jesus' name, move. Now you're supposed to overcome. We are overcomers and we're supposed to have overcoming mentality. No matter what's in our path, I don't think about losing. I don't think about retreating. I don't think about going under. My first thought is I'm going to win. Now look at 1 John. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. You have to know what Jesus has done. Without His death and resurrection, we could not overcome. But the good news is He did die, was resurrected. His blood has been shed. It is on the altar of heaven. It is there for you. And my faith, my confession, which is an expression of what I believe of my faith, would cause me to overcome. Now, 1 John has several verses about overcoming. It talks about we can overcome the devil. We can overcome the world as well. You know, the world always says, just like your children do, well, everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my children where they're all wrong. Mm-hmm. The fact that everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. And it says in 1 John chapter 5, are you there? Verse 5, who's he that overcomes? Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. See, if you believe in Jesus, if He's your Savior and Lord, if you've come into the kingdom, you've been transported out of the darkness into the light, you are a believer, and believers are supposed to overcome. Says, who's going to overcome? Says, he that believes. Who's going to get past the pressure, the circumstances, the dilemma? He that believes. Now it goes on to say, in verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, every Christian's born of God. That's an expression that simply means you took Jesus as Savior and Lord, and then he gave birth to you. You were transported from the darkness, Satan being your father, into the light, and now God is Father. Whosoever is born, we use the expression from John chapter 3, you must be born again. Well, the man that's been born is the man that overcomes. Now, how many Christians are supposed to overcome?
All of
them. Every Christian, everyone who believes can overcome. Any dilemma, any problem, any trauma. I love verse 5. Who is he that overcomes? I say I do. It's me. I'm the one. Who is it that overcomes? I do. Now we read chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God. How did you become of God? You were born. You accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. You were what? Born. You're of God, little children, have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now that them is the devil. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God. There are those spirits that are not of God, that come to kill, steal, and destroy. So you should test, you should try, you should know. There is the spirit of the living God. There are spirits of the devil. And says, my little children, you've overcome the spirit of the devil. Called in verse 3, the Antichrist. Anything that's Antichrist is against Christ, is not pro-gospel. It's against the gospel that we believe in. But it says, little children, you've overcome. Who can overcome? The children. Who can overcome? Now, do you qualify?
Yes. Yes.
Now, look at Romans 8. You know, we have to reprogram our thinking. That's called renewal of the mind in the scripture, a restoration of the soul. Because so many times we're prone to believe, I can't win, nothing good ever happens to me. Instead of thinking like God thinks, God says, little children, you've overcome. Little children, you've overcome. Who is he that overcomes? The children. That's you. It's that simple. We could quit now and go home. Who's going to overcome? Overcome what? The world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a wonderful verse in Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us how many things?
All.
So what can you overcome?
All things.
Now this verse talks about shed blood. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up. Delivered him up to what? Death. And because he died, because he descended into hell, because he faced the devil and defeated him, the scripture calls that spoiling him, means to rob or to strip or to paralyze, then we can overcome. Who is it that no could overcome? The children. How can you overcome? Because Jesus died. Because the blood was shed. Now we talked last week about shed blood, and we make this statement again. Many times people believe or teach that Jesus could heal while he was in Galilee, while he was on the earth, and then the apostles could heal. But then when the last apostle died, healing ceased. And what they're saying is the blood flowing in Jesus' veins was stronger than the shed blood. And how can that be? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the shedding of blood, you can't freely have all things. It's because the blood was shed that you can freely have. That word is freely. Have how many things?
All.
Overcome how many things?
All.
Who overcomes?
We children.
The children. Now this chapter calls it not overcoming, but being more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. And it tells us exactly what we can conquer. Verse 37, nay, and how many things?
All.
How many things? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What did him that loved us, Jesus, he that loved us, what did he do? He was delivered up to death so that we could overcome. Now it tells us exactly what we can overcome, what we can't come over. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation. That word tribulation means pressure of circumstances and antagonism of persons. Do you understand both of those terms? Pressure of circumstances and antagonisms of persons. It means to be in trouble, to be in anguish, to be burdened. Now you can overcome that. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Are you born of God?
Yes.
Are you a little child of God?
Yes.
Did you come into the kingdom?
Yes.
You can overcome pressure. Disease puts pressure on us. Financial lack puts pressure. Disobedient children put you under pressure. Elderly parents put you under pressure. Difficult co-workers at the office put you under pressure. I've been under pressure because I couldn't get my hair to do just right. Has that ever happened to you? Some people, it doesn't take much pressure. You think, it's not working. Tribulation. We use the word trial, talking about the test of our faith, not God testing our faith, but the test of faith. And then we don't know what that means. If you ask me, what is a trial? What's a test? They don't know. It's to be under pressure. Anytime you take a test in school, you're under pressure. Take a test for a job, you're under pressure. Now that next word is a wonderful word. Distress. That word distress means to be in a narrow spot. Now you know how we'd say that today? To be in a jam. You ever been in a jam? See, who can overcome the pressures, the tribulation, the trouble, the trial, the anguish, the burden, the jam, the pressure? It means to be in a narrow spot. Now there is a national resort that has a very narrow corridor. And if you're going down that corridor, it's a mountain path. You have to kind of turn sideways because it's very narrow. It's deliberately narrow, and it's advertised. It's part of the delight of being there, is squeezing through the narrow corridor. Some of us didn't think it was too delightful, but that's the way they bill it. Now, that's what this word means. It means you're in a jam. You're in a really tight spot. Who is he that overcomes the tight spots of life?
Children.
You know, chemotherapy puts you under pressure. When your insurance policy doesn't pay but 80% and you have to pay 20%, you're under pressure. When they won't cash up front, you're under pressure. When your children call and say, "Mom, I'm not coming home," you're under pressure. You're in a tight spot. You're in a jam. But who can overcome? He that overcomes by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of my testimony, and I love not my life or death, I am fully surrendered. Fully surrendered. Jesus is Lord. I'm in the house of God. I'm faithful to the house of God. I pray. I read. In other words, I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I like what's been said. You work as if it was all on you, knowing it's really all because of him. Now, if I know what Jesus did, I can get out from under pressure. If I know what Jesus did, I can get out from that narrow, tight spot. Now, the psalmist said, and I love it, he said, "I have placed you in a large room." Mm-hmm. You know what he meant? You're not in a jam. You're not under any pressure. He says, "I've placed you in a large..." How is that possible? "He that delivered his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us
all?"
Because of the blood. We overcome by the blood. If the blood's been shed, you can overcome. If you know it's been shed, if you receive it personally, you can overcome. Overcoming is by shed blood. Shed blood causes you to overcome. Now we'll look at a number of examples, but look at this next word, persecution. It means to be pursued or followed. It means somebody's always on your case. That's how we'd write it if we were writing it today. We'd say, "I'm under great pressure. I'm in a jam and somebody's always on my case." That's what it means. And then famine and nakedness means you have great lack, great need. Peril is you're in great danger. And sword is a declared enemy. That's the kid that lives with you, you know, that says, "I hate you." A declared enemy. One who comes against you with the sword. One who would stab you in the back. That's what we'd say. They stab me in the back. But here's the good news. Who is he that overcomes? My little children. whosoever is born of God overcomes. Comes over. Comes past, comes around. Now look at Exodus chapter 12. I want to give you several examples to show you that overcoming power is in the shed blood. We have no problem, no dilemma today because the blood's been shed. We're not waiting on it to be shed. We're not looking forward to death and resurrection. It's already been done. It's behind us. If I want to see the cross, I have to look behind me. It's not in front of me. It's in the past. And Jesus is now presently at the right hand of the Father, and he's there to enforce Satan's defeat, to provide me with overcoming power. But in order to be provided with overcoming power, I have to first know I'm supposed to win, I'm supposed to overcome, I'm supposed to be out front. I have to develop a new mentality. Now, this is the Passover. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 12. Jesus, the Lord, told them to kill a lamb. They're in Egypt. He's fixing to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. They are fixing to overcome. They're fixing to be led out. They're fixing to overcome. He told them to kill a lamb. Then he said in verse 11, "And thus shall you eat it, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand." Now, people with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, and their staff in their hand are ready to overcome. They plan to overcome. They plan to get out of here any minute now. You know, if you're sitting in your lounge chair and you don't have your shoes on, you got to go down the hall and retrieve your belt and brush your teeth, you're not ready. See, he said, "You guys, be ready. You're going to overcome. Be ready. You're going to overcome. Be ready. You're going to come over. Come out." He said, "Get your shoes on. Have your staff. Be dressed. Eat." What's eating for?
Strength.
Physical strength. If you call me at 3 in the morning, say you need me at the hospital, about 5 o'clock, I'm thinking, I need a cup of coffee. I need a cookie. I need egg and bacon. A bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. He's getting them ready. To what? To overcome. See, you're not the loser, you're the winner. You're not the one going under, you're the one going over. Get ready. So most people aren't ready. They don't plan to overcome. This is the way it is. Life is hard. You never know what God is doing. Sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level with the ground. The will of the Lord be done. Mass confusion, wrong theology. No, I said, who is he that overcomes? Who is he that overcomes? Who is he that overcomes? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. He that knows he died and the blood was shed. It's presently at the altar of heaven. And from the altar, from God's throne, I believe he looks out across that altar, sees that shed blood, and delivers us from every infirmity, every pressure, every tribulation, every anguish, every burden, every jam from people who pursue us. We overcome. You need a plan to overcome. You know, you talk to sick people. You know what they plan to do? They plan to die. Tremendous percentage plan to die. They bought their cemetery plot. They've picked out their coffin. I'm not against any of those things, but don't do those while you're sick. Wait till you get well and then buy a cemetery plot. The man kept calling our house. We have an unlisted number, so when you call our house, you've gone to a lot of trouble. I assume he's just going down the digits. You know how they do. And he called a number of times, couldn't get rid of him. Finally, I told him, "You know, I'm not certain I'm going to die." He said, "Ma'am, everybody dies." I said, "No. Some people are going to die, but some people are not going to die." You know, he never bothered me again. Didn't try to sell me another cemetery plot. Don't plan to die, plan to live. Don't plan to go under, plan to go over. Say, "Lord, I'm the overcomer, I'm the winner. I'm the one who's more than a conqueror. You love me." You said, "None of these pressures, none of these circumstances, none of these anguishes, none of these tribulations, none of these burdens would plow me underneath." One precious minister of the gospel had heart surgery, really sick for quite some time. And he said he was in such a mental state that if he had passed a cemetery with an open grave, he'd have just got out of his car and climbed in it and laid down. He wasn't thinking overcome. He was thinking, "This is the end. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably never be able to preach again. Probably never get fully well. I'm an old man now. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Who's going to take care of me?" He's not planning to overcome. Who is he that overcomes? What are your plans? You plan to die? You plan to live? Well, what are your plans? Now, these people are ready to overcome. God sent Moses as their leader. They have leadership. They have direction from heaven. See, if you have the word, you have direction from heaven. They have leadership. They have direction from heaven. Now, he tells them to kill that lamb, to take the hyssop and put the blood over those doorposts, and don't go out the front door. And their deliverance and their freedom is going to depend upon the blood and their obedience to their understanding of the command of God to stay in the house behind the blood. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That means if he doesn't see the blood or they come out of the door during the night, death and destruction could be their lot. Now, everybody that didn't have blood all across Egypt, the Egyptians didn't post blood. They didn't have God's word. They didn't have God's command. See, who can overcome the man that believes? The man that believes. There's no faith in Egypt. There's no belief in the masses of the people. They worshiped foreign gods, and they couldn't overcome because they didn't have a commitment to the living God. And people who are committed to the living God, who know what the blood has done, can overcome. And he said, when I see the blood, when I see it, when I see it. Now, the only way he can see it in my life is when I speak by faith and say, Father, I know you said you delivered me from the darkness, and I'm not in the dark. You said I was a child of light. Light illuminates, and I know you illuminate in my life. You show and declare to me. I know that. I begin to state what I know. Why? Because I can overcome by what I know about the blood and by speaking what I know about the blood and being dedicated and committed, not swaying, not wavering. You know, we stated it earlier, but people who are under pressure, who are in trouble, retreat. Instead of staying in the house of God with the people of God and saying, I've got problems. Instead of sometimes, you know, I just have to say, you know, I blew that. I know this is my fault. Can't blame this on anybody but myself, but I don't know how to get out. Humility is always honest. It's always truthful. I say, this is my fault. That's the beginning of freedom. Yes. Now you need to plan to overcome. All God's children overcome. They overcome because they know the work of the blood, because the blood's been shed, and they know that. And they say that. Now he said, if I see that blood, I'll pass over you. And then he said, in verse 21, Moses called for all the elders of Israel, said to them, draw out, take you a lamb according to your families, kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin. Strike the lintel, the two side posts, with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over you and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your house to smite you. Why were they not destroyed? Because of blood. Why did the plague not come to them? Because of blood. How did they overcome? By the blood of the lamb. How did they overcome? Now, this is a four-footed beast. It's a replica, type of shadow of Jesus who was to come. It's not even Jesus. It's not even Jesus. It's just a type of him. It's representative of what he's going to do. Based on what he's going to do, God's going to set his people free. Now, I don't have to depend on what he's going to do. I can look back and see what he's already done. Their freedom was going to be purchased. My freedom has been purchased. Now, look at Numbers chapter 16. They were complaining about Moses and Aaron, complaining about leadership. That's never a wise idea. It never cultivates favor with heaven. You know, when they email me from Scotland, they say, and in capital letters, may the FOG, may the fog be with you. Now, I don't know how many emails I've gotten that at the end they say, may the fog be with you. And the other day it dawned on me what that is. You know what that is? The favor of God. So now I got it. I said, may the fog be with you. Verse 46, they get in big trouble. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire thereon from off the altar, put on incense, go quickly into the congregation, make an atonement for them. Now, the word atonement always is the shedding of blood. It's the shedding of an animal that covers, not that blots out. Only Jesus' blood could blot out, but it's a covering until Jesus could come and blot out. Now, when you put on a glove, you've covered your hand. And so this is the shedding of blood that covers. It covers. Now, for this, it says, the wrath has gone out from God. The plague has begun. What's going to deliver them from this plague? The blood. What delivered them in Egypt from destruction? The blood. Who is he that overcomes? And how does Revelation say we overcome? By the Blood of the Lamb. And all through the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, you see people that understood the sacrifice, the blood, were overcomers. Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran to the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. Now that's a comfort to you. The problem's already manifested. It's begun. Sometimes people think they're going to get out of the problem before the problem manifests. Well, would that were always true. In fact, it's not much true very many times, I don't think. The plague has begun. The problem's manifested, the tribulation, the trial, the pressure, the antagonism. It's started. It's started.
Yes.
It's already come.
Sure has.
Says it's begun. But he put on incense and what? Made an atonement, shed blood.
Yeah.
And stood between the dead and the living. The plague was stayed or stopped. What stopped, stayed? The blood? The blood. The blood. The plague was stopped because of the... How did they overcome?
Blood.
Was the blood available to you?
Yes.
Are you blood bought?
Yes.
Is it on the altar of heaven for you?
Yes.
Did whosoever will come, that was you?
Yes.
So you have no problem, do you?
Right.
You're not under any pressure, are you?
No.
You're not in any trouble.
No, that's right.
Even if it's begun.
Amen.
Look at 21, Numbers 21. I love that. The plague has begun. You know, you're already to the point you're thinking, oh, what in the world am I ever going to do? What am I ever going to do? What am I ever going to do? But the man that overcomes, comes over, is the man of faith, the one who speaks what the blood has done. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, that's when you say what Jesus' blood did. You know what it did. You do a little checking, a little meditating, a little investigating. You're not ignorant. We're not supposed to be ignorant. And we won't know all things, but we're not ignorant. We know some things. And if we know that we don't know and we need to know, we do some reading. And if we read and we can't find it, we check with a friend. We find somebody that does know. Because my confession of what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ did will put me over. It will cause me to come past disease. It stays plagues. It stops destruction. The blood.
Amen.
And it always did. Now in chapter 21 we have another incident. People complaining again. Say no complaining.
No.
Now they said the way was hard. That's verse 4. Discouraged because of the way. Now you can hear yourself and the rest of the world say, this is so hard. That's what they said. This is so hard. This is so hard. Why did this ever happen to me? So they got discouraged. Not encouraged, discouraged. Because it was hard. It was difficult. And then they spake against leadership. You know you need to look at your own tree. Check the fruit that you bear. Don't blame everything. Well, if you'd known how my mother and daddy lived and how they raised me, if you'd known what she said about me, if you'd known what my boss did and how unfair he is, blame it somebody else. That's all they did. This is too hard, and this is your fault. Threw stones at Moses. Now, if you think God thought that was a good idea... And then they said, we don't like this light bread. They didn't like their food. They didn't like their diet. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people much. People of Israel died. So has the problem begun? Has it manifest?
Yeah.
Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. That's the smartest thing you'll ever do. The smartest thing you'll ever do is check the fruit on your tree and say, this is my fault. I have sinned. Really? And if it is your fault and you don't say so, you're going to have trouble overcoming. Let's give you a clue. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents. Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said, Moses, make thee a fiery serpent set upon a pole. Came to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looks upon it shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass put upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten, how many? Any man who can overcome.
Any.
Now that serpent on the pole was a type of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a type of shed blood. And we see this serpent referred to right before John 3:16. It says, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. This serpent on the pole was a type of blood of what Jesus was going to do when that blood was shed. Where there is deliverance and freedom and overcoming, there's blood. And that's good news, because we don't have to go shed any blood. It's been done. The provision's been made. Jesus already been delivered to death, already descended into hell, already took his blood, put it on the very altar of heaven. For you, for any man that look, we used to sing this. There's an old hymn that says, look and live, look to Jesus now and live. I've a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. Do you know that one? It's a good song. Now, look at Job 33. Has the blood been shed? Are you a child of God? Have you come under that blood? Has the price been paid? Was the price blood? Now, Job has a lot to overcome, does he not? All of his cattle have been destroyed. In other words, his business is bankrupt. He doesn't have a family. His family's all died. His servants are all gone. You can't imagine the dilemma of being used to a servant and not having one. Gone. We got trouble. Then he gets sick. Really sick. Now how's he going to overcome? Death, destruction, dilemma, bankruptcy. How's he going to overcome? It's wonderful, chapter 33. Here's a description of Job's physical condition. It's absolutely wonderfully graphic. He's chastened also with pain upon his bed. Now, what kind of pain does he have? Pain that caused him to go to bed. You ever been there? The multitude of his bones. Pain all the way down to his bones. You getting the picture? So that his life abhorred bread, his soul dainty meat. He's quit eating. This is bad news. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen. His bones that were not seen stick out. He hadn't eaten a long time. Because it takes years to starve yourself to death. If you want to starve yourself to death, you need to start today. Because it takes a long time. Verse 22, that's the truth. You ask medical science. His soul draws near to the grave. His life to the destroyers. He's going to die. You get the picture? He's in pain. He can't get up. He can't eat. His bones are sticking out. He hadn't eaten and he's going to die. Who's he that overcomes? Now look at verse 24. He's gracious. That's your father. He's a gracious father unto him and says, deliver him. Who's he that overcomes? Deliver him. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Why? How can we do that? I have found. What is a ransom? We're redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. It's an atonement. It's a blood covering. It's a deliver him. I've found a ransom. Do you know the ransom? The price has been paid. Keep your finger there. Look up 1 Timothy. Let me show you. We're not looking to be ransomed. We've been ransomed. We're not looking to be delivered. We've been delivered. We're not looking to be set free. We've been set free. Verse 5. There's one God. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself what? Gave himself what? Deliver him! I've found the ransom! Who gave himself a ransom. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Who's the ransom? Jesus. How was the price paid? He died and shed his blood. The shed blood was the ransom. 20:28, words of Jesus himself. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister unto what? To give his life a ransom. To give his life a ransom. Ransom is price. If I kidnap your kid, send you a note, send me $1 million. That's the ransom. The ransom is the price that's necessary in order to buy the freedom. What's the price necessary? The blood of the Lamb. And every time somebody understands the price paid, understands the shed blood, they can overcome. Not some of the time, part of the time, almost. Every single time we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jesus came to give, to surrender, to yield his life the ransom. Now turn back to Job. I want to show you what happened when it became obvious that there was a ransom. This is not a ransom that had been. This is a ransom that is coming. This is like a credit card. It's not that you're paying. I'm going to give you the good, expect you to pay later. This is credit. Ransom on credit. You don't have to be ransomed by credit. You're not overcoming on credit. It's debit. It's been done. Now, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. That's quite a ransom, isn't it? Now, what does the 103rd Psalm say? If you look over there, there's a line from the 103rd Psalm that coordinates here. It's very important. Renews your youth. Now, you can't renew your youth through surgery. Although it might be a temporary stopgap. How is youth renewed? Through the ransom. Through the ransom. Through the ransom. Just on last night's news, they did this report on happy people live longer. Did y'all see that? It's amazing they're figuring God out. They didn't give God any credit, you understand. No, just they found out happy people live longer. Well, the 103rd Psalm says your youth is renewed. It says Job's flesh. Now, remember, he was covered head to toe with boils, and he's going to take a piece of a pot and scrape his flesh. And his wife says, you know, she was a big help. Curse God and die. Yeah. Those aren't the kind of friends you need. Evil companionships corrupt good manners. I don't know what we'd do with her if we had her today. We would have to tie her so she couldn't speak. There's no doubt we don't need her words of her mouth. The meditations of her heart are not acceptable in God's sight. Job's youth was renewed until his flesh was as fresh as a baby's, as a child's, and his strength was the same as at his youth. Because of the ransom. The ransom is the blood. It's the shed blood. We're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. If the blood is shed, you have overcome. You tell your body. You tell your checkbook. I have speak to my checkbook. I don't know about yours, but it speaks to me real loud sometimes. And I don't subtract things for pages. Don't do like I do. I figure if you don't subtract, it's bound to be money in there. That's my theory. That's my accounting. I don't know anything about accounting. So every now and then I'm subtracting. I'm down to the second page. I thought, probably should see what's happening here. And you begin to get down to the top of the second page and you begin to get a little nervous. You think, your checkbook's beginning to speak to you. But people who know blood know that God said that he'd meet my need. Now, the first thing I'm going to say is the same thing Moses and his people said. I have sinned. This is my fault. I was not cautious. Now deliver me. Because I found the ransom. Now that's what James meant. He said, call for the elders of the church and they'll pray the prayer of faith. And says, if you've sinned. If you have. Doesn't mean you necessarily have. Maybe haven't. If you've sinned, they'll be forgiven. God's going to forgive and heal. Go forgive and heal. Why? Who's he that overcomes? We overcome by the blood. See, we need to become real blood conscious.
Yes.
You need to draw that bloodline. You draw it with the words of your mouth, not with pen and ink. Now look at Leviticus 25. Let me show you something else. Now, Leviticus 25 talks about the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was the year when all men would be free. It was the 50th year. It was celebrated every 50th year. That's in verse 8 for you. Now in verse 9, the 50th year. In other words, if you've gone into slavery for payment of a debt, you're going to be set free. If you've lost your property, you're going to be able to redeem that property. All across the land, there's going to be freedom, great abounding freedom. It's very much like Romans 8. How shall he not with the Son who was delivered up freely give us all things? Now, all things, whatever you need, is going to be given. This is the picture, the shadow, the type. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of what?
Atonement.
What day?
Atonement.
Does freedom begin?
Day of Atonement.
Shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all the land? A Jubilee is the sound of the trumpet. See, the sound of the trumpet indicates the freedom. You can be set free from slavery. You can retrieve your property. You can retrieve your children if you've had to sell them to slavery. And you read this entire chapter. It tells you the intricate process, even the finances of how we're going to do this fair to all men. In other words, you've lived on the land 25 years, but the first 25 it was 9. And there's financial arrangements in here. It's a wonderful chapter. But before the freedom was the Day of Atonement. Before the trumpet sounded, saying everybody is free. See, the sounding of the trumpet said there's freedom, 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 freedom. Overcoming, see? Overcoming slavery. Overcoming what we'd call your lot in life. But the trumpet never blew before the blood was shed. Never. First the blood, and then the sounding of the trumpet. And it says, when the trumpet sounded, this is what God said. Verse 10, you shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty. Liberty from disease, liberty from poverty, liberty from slavery, liberty from trauma, liberty from depression, liberty from discouragement, liberty from distress and anguish and burden and trouble, liberty from being in a jam, liberty from declared enemies. Romans 8, liberty, 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 this is liberty. Throughout all the land. How much of the land? Unto all the inhabitants. How many? It shall be a jubilee, and you shall return every man unto his possession. You return every man to his family. And when that trumpet sounded, that trumpet blast said, you shall return. You shall return. You shall return. But before the trumpet could sound, they celebrated the Day of Atonement, and the lamb was sacrificed, and the blood was on the altar. And once the blood was on the altar, you shall return. Now here's the good news today. The blood's been shed. It is on the altar. Look at Hebrews. Where there is shed blood and knowledge of shed blood and someone who's willing to say to the Lord and to themselves, this is what you said, this is what I believe, that blood was shed for me. You said whosoever will would come. You said he was delivered so I could freely have all things. You said I could have richly all things to enjoy. You said you'd meet my need out of your riches in glory. You said I could have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. How did you get in Christ? Shed blood. You received the work of the blood. That's how you got in him.
Yes.
You came through the doorway of blood.
Yes.
See, this is how you can be free no matter what your sickness or disease or your dilemma today. Begin to say. Begin to say. Now, if you're not committed, if Jesus is not Lord, do that first. This won't work for people very well who only come to church the end of the month. It won't. But you can change that. Hebrews 9. Wonderful verses here. Verse 12, we'll start. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. What we've shown you is redemption, freedom, return, overcoming by the blood of the
lamb,
the goat, the calf, the bull. Now that was a type or shadow of what was to come. Jesus is called the anti-type, which just means he's the real thing. Strange word. He's the real thing. Now listen, where there is the shadow, If we go out and the sun casts a shadow, the shadow is not you. But where there is the shadow, you are very close behind. Because if you are not there, there will be no shadow. And when Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers begin to cast the shadow of blood, that shadow of blood said, Jesus is close behind. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in. How many times?
Once.
See, they had to sacrifice those animals continually. By his own blood he entered in once. He entered in. Now where did he enter in? Into the holy place. He entered the holy place. Now look where that is. Verse 24. Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. In other words, it's not earthly, it's not temporal. It wasn't man-made. He entered into a holy place that man had not made, where human hands had not been. Well, where would that be? And it says the holy place that man made is a figure, a type, a shadow of that which is the truth. See, earth is a replica of heaven. Heaven was first. He said, now he's not going to enter in an earthly temple where man's had and been, because where man has been, that's a type of what's really real. But into heaven itself. Into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now go back to where we just read. He entered in how many times?
Once.
Done once. It's over. It's finished. Now it goes on, this chapter said the high priest came every year. The Day of Atonement was celebrated every year. Every year they had the special celebration, the feast. And said the high priest came continually, but Jesus was high priest of better things to come. And he put away sin once. How many times?
Once.
See, he doesn't have to put your disease away. Now, if we say he put away sin once, that's in verse 26, unless you think I'm writing it. Now, once, what does it say? Once, in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away sin once. Now, what does that mean today? I see a lot of sin. There's a lot of sin, including sometimes at our houses. He put away sin what?
Once.
How many times did he do that? And yet sin is here. But if I confess my sin, faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So there doesn't have to be another sacrifice for sin. There was one sacrifice for sin. All I have to do is look backwards and believe in that one sacrifice. Confess that I have breached the word, the commandments of Almighty God, and that one sacrifice that's already done will forgive and cleanse. So much so that God said, I won't remember. That's a lot of forgiveness. You know, we do forgive, but we remember. Oh, I remember that since 76. I like never got over that. We remember. His forgiveness is so total, he's not going to remember. Listen, don't remind him. You think that's funny, but people do. Over and over again, they tell God, oh, I wish I'd never done that. Oh, moan and groan. Now, he's only go to the holy place in heaven. He's only going to go one time. That means I am not waiting on him to heal my disease. If I were waiting on him to heal my disease, I'm waiting on him to do something. And he said, I'm only going to do this one time. That means it's already done. It's already done. Look back at the cross and see. Stand by the empty tomb and see. Read it in the Word. Now, verse 14, are you ready? Getting up to my punchline. How much more? How much less? How much
more
shall the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ means how much more can it do than the blood of animals could do? Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. How much more? Verse 13. If the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the what? Purifying of the flesh. Well, what is flesh? Flesh is flesh. We know what flesh is. It says, if the blood of the four-footed beast could purify flesh, how much more? You see, in the Old Testament, when you got leprosy, you went to the high priest and you had an animal killed. No matter what the disease, the route to overcoming was through the blood, has always been. And that means I've got to go back. I get sick again. I got to go back again and again and again. More, you know, more lambs. But it said if that's possible, if a four-footed beast could ensure recovery to a leper, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, which Spirit? What does that mean, eternal Spirit? Listen, if it's eternal, it's here right now, isn't it? Isn't it? Can you overcome? Who overcomes? What kind of mentality do I have? I'm the winner. I'm the one that overcomes disease. The one that lives long upon the earth. The one that steps from health, from healing to health. That's me. The one that has every need supplied. I was reading, listening to some tapes on humility and prosperity and so forth. And they read this verse from Timothy that says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. And of course, I come to that verse, I just skip that and go on the next one. That's what I do. And that's what the man on the tape said. He said, now because you're not wealthy, you skipped that verse. You didn't even pay attention while I was reading it. And that's exactly what I had done. Exactly. That's exactly what I did. He said, you didn't listen while I read that, did you? I'm just talking to the tape player. I said, no, I didn't. Because I wasn't planning on overcoming poverty. I wasn't planning on having a full supply. I'm not rich. I didn't ever think I would be rich. And when they said, charge them that are rich, I thought, oh, well, there's no chance of me being high-minded over my money. And I went right on. My thinking was wrong. So now when I read that verse, charge them that are rich, I said, okay, what am I supposed to do? Tell me again.
Be not high-minded.
Because I'm planning on having a full supply and every need met. That's me. That verse is written to me, the rich. That's faith. Is this faith?
Yes.
You going to live by fact or faith?
Faith.
I don't care what your checkbook says. God said he'd meet your need as riches and glory. He said if you'd give, it'd be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together. He said some man would give it to you.
That's right.
I'm looking every day. See, who is you the one? He said men would give it to you.
That's right.
He did. See, plan to overcome. Now, how can you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You begin to take the scripture. It's yours. It's personal. And you say, I have overcome. I'm free from disease. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And I've read it so much that way, I don't even see the scripture anymore. When I come to Isaiah, because I always read that with my name in it. I can't hardly read it any other way. I said, he was wounded for Becky's transgressions, bruised for Becky's iniquities. The chastisement of Becky's peace was upon him, and with his stripes, Becky is healed. Say, but that's not what happened in my body. That's not what's happening in my finance. That's not what's happening in my family. They overcame. They who? Look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. It's only if you look, you live. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. Thank you, our Father. How gracious you are to us with anointing. Thank you for these people who've listened so carefully. Pray that the words that would help them, put them over tomorrow, come back to them. Like regurgitation, Father, just comes up and comes up and comes up. That same word, that same phrase. Holy Ghost, you're the one who remembers all things. Bring back to their remembrance what helps them. And bring revelation where many times we stand on the precipice of almost seeing, almost understand, and open up that door wide so that they fully see, fully understand. Thank you that we have overcome. We have overcome through the blood of the Lamb. It has been shed. We have overcome. I am healed. I am well. I am prospering. I do have that peace that passes all understanding. I am walking in joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going from grace to grace and faith to faith. I am. You said so. You said so. You said so. I believe that. We put your word in our mouth and we speak that word constantly. We don't speak the lies of the devil. We don't look at the circumstances and talk about what is, but we talk about what you said. What you said that Jesus did. What you said that the blood secured. We are overcomers. We're blood bought. And with that blood, we do overcome. Thank you so much. Thank you. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus.